So I want to preface you tonight with this message, and I'm going to have to split it up in two. I didn't want to split it up in two, but I'm going to have to. We need to know why we believe what we believe. And we're living in a day that we're under a microscope of criticism, and I have made up my mind as a pastor. I want to be as close to the Bible as I can be. I'm not interested in what other men are doing, what other churches are doing. If I can learn from it, great. But I want to do what lines up with the Bible. And so tonight, I'm going to preface you. This ain't going to be a shouting message. You ain't going to run the aisle and sing hallelujah, probably. But I believe it's biblical. And here's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. I want you to take notes. I want you to write things down, because you will probably be asked some of these questions. And you need to know, this isn't a sufficient answer. Well, it's because my preacher said so. That's not sufficient. You ought to be able to take people to the Bible and show them. If we're, as Baptists, if the Bible is our sole and final authority, we need to point people back to Scripture. And so I would encourage you to take notes, try to get an understanding of this. If it's a little dry, I don't mean it that way, but it is something we need to know tonight. And so Proverbs chapter number 3, I want to look at one verse, and then I want you to have your Bible ready, because we're going to a couple places. And I'll split this message in half so it's not very long tonight. We can finish it up next Sunday night. But Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9, the Bible says this: honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, I believe, God, that this is what you laid on my heart for this evening. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to learn, God, to be biblical Christians. And Lord, with this understanding of tithing and giving, Lord, we do know, God, that there are promises in Scripture, Lord, that you would bless us. But Lord, that is not why we give. We give because you love us, Lord, because of your goodness. And so last, Lord, for the next couple of moments, Lord, as we just explain passages through your word, that you would do the work. And God, that you would just help us have a better understanding. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Sunday morning, we take up an offering, which really we take up an offering every service. And, we pray, and a pastor sometimes calls on people who are taking up the offering, or sometimes the pastor prays, and the ushers commence the offertory process, if you will, and they approach your aisle, and I want you to get the mindset of a visitor. They approach your aisle with that big shiny plate, and as that offering gets close to you, and I want you to think, let's pretend that you didn't grow up in church and you don't really know anything about giving, what the Bible says. But that big shiny plate comes towards you, and you see other people, they start getting their wallet out, or they start digging in their purse, or they see this weird looking envelope and they're writing stuff on it. Well, naturally you're thinking, well, I need to give something, or I need to put something in the offering plate. And so maybe you reach down in your pocket and you find a dollar. Or man, I found $20 in my pant pocket the other day. Somebody say amen right there. But whatever you find, whether it's lint, whether it's change or $20 bill, or you're scratching, you find something, you throw it in the offering plate because you see everybody else doing it, and you just morally think that that's the right thing to do. But really, deep down in your heart, you don't know why. Why do we give? Why are people giving? Where does this money go? What's the process? What is it, biblical? Is it scripture? Is it something that's just traditional that the church does? How much should I give? And as an individual that grew up in church, I really never questioned giving. I've been in church ever since I was in the womb, and it was just part of what I did and what my family did. But really, and I've already encouraged you tonight, we need to know why we do what we do, and we need to have a biblical reason for what we do. I've always heard of the term tithe. I've always heard of the term offering. I've heard of the term missions. And I just assumed that it was biblically based and not on the opinion of man. But however, I have found that not everybody believes and agrees with what I grew up believing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And what I grew up in, a life of what I would call the minority, when really there's people that believe, well, you shouldn't give, or giving's not biblical. And man, unbelievers and believers, there's people with so many philosophies and so many opinions and different beliefs that are floating around. And when we get into the Bible, I was telling Brother Travis and Brother Doug, before the service starts, out of any other doctrine or principle, Jesus preached on money the most. Out of any other thing he ever talked about, he talked about money. And Travis brought up a good point, and I agree with him that money is close to our heart. Now, you can say, preacher, that's not true. Well, you can say that all you want to, but if somebody gave $1 million in your pocket, something inside of you is going to have a little leap for joy. And if you don't leap for joy, give it to me, and I'll leap for joy on your behalf. Amen? But the Bible says that where your treasure is, there is your heart. And there's principles about money and giving. And so as Christians, as God's people, we need to know what the Bible says about giving. You need to know what your obligation is, if you will, or what the Bible says about a Christian giving. And we need to be able to point others. And when you give through the local church, you need to know that it's biblical and what God says about it. And so when we think about this idea of giving, really biblically as a Christian, I want you to write this down, if you will. Giving biblically as a Christian can be narrowed down to three categories. Three categories. The first one you'll find in the Bible, not in any given order, is missions giving. Missions giving. Preacher, what in the world is missions giving? This is giving that supports missionaries to spread the gospel, whether foreign or not in America, or domestic inside the United States. We here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we support almost 50 missionaries, some in the U.S. and some across the world. And every month we write them a check and we vote on missionaries and how much to give them. And we support them. You say, preacher, why do we do that? Because who else is going to surrender their life forever to go to China to tell them about the gospel? I didn't see no hands go up tonight. And that's because the Lord hasn't maybe called you to the mission field, but He has called some. And so we know that I can't pastor Tabernacle and be a missionary to Africa at the same time, because there's people that are still dying and going to hell here in Salisbury, and this is our Jerusalem. So what do? We financially and prayerfully support those who God has called to the mission field, and we help them so they don't have to work a full-time job and that they can spend their time spreading the gospel. So there's missions giving, and we find that, and I'm not going to go, I'll tell you where that, but you see it in the book of Acts when Paul is separated to go, and the Holy Ghost tells him that I've got to work separated for you. But then there is giving that is called an offering. So you've got missions giving, then you've got an offering that is giving above a tithe and can be designated to a specific purpose. Sometimes we get money in and someone wants to designate it to something, and we know that that's not a tithe. That is what we would call biblically an offering. But finally, in our Bible, there is a tithe. And I will define that momentarily. But there is a tithe. Most Bible students agree giving to missions and offerings are biblical. But what about tithing? Is tithing biblical for a New Testament church, for New Testament Christians? Is it necessary for us today? Preachers and preachers, evangelists, pastors, podcast speakers, believers, unbelievers, they've really boiled it down to two conclusions. And there are some small different areas, but really it's boiled down to two conclusions. I'm going to give them to you tonight. This is what they would say. The first is this. Here's the first conclusion concerning tithing. Is that tithing is strictly an Old Testament law. Therefore, Christians are not required to tithe because we are not under the law. We are under a new dispensation, the church age, or the age of grace. So that is the first conclusion that you'll find. Well, we're not under the law. That was an Old Testament law under the Mosaic law, and we're not required to do that. We're under grace. We're under the church age. So tithing is not required for us. You'll see. In fact, I would dare say majority of Christians believe that right there. They'll believe that tithing is not a New Testament principle in God's Word. But you'll hear a term like this. Well, we are grace givers. We give as the Lord tells us to give. But then there's conclusion number two. And it is this. That tithing is not strictly an Old Testament law, But it is a principle that is identified through the entire Word of God, thus leading us to believe that tithing is applicable for Christians today. So the conclusion is that tithing is not just the Old Testament law, but as you go throughout the entire Bible, you'll see that principle established and that it is applicable for Christians today. So we need to answer a question tonight. Is tithing an Old Testament law that's not applicable for us today? Or is it a biblical principle for the believer? In fact, I just got an email that somebody, and I don't know if they're listening live stream. I don't think they're here tonight. I don't know. But they wanted to know exactly what I'm preaching. Do we believe, do you preach that tithing is biblical for New Testament Christians? And, you know, and I responded to the email. Really, I responded to a lot of what I'm telling you tonight. But as we look into God's Word, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to arrive at the opinion of man, but I want to arrive at what the Bible says. Amen? Y'all with me? In his book, The Treasured Principle, there's an author by the name of Randy Alcorn. Now, I don't agree with everything Mr. Alcorn has to say, but he does have some good material. And he gives a statistic based on a 2013 study of Christians who give. This is what he found. Studies over the past decade indicate that American Christians give on average. Now, these are grace givers. These will be the people who do not believe that tithing is a biblical principle. Here's what he's found out. That on these grace givers, Christians, give on average of 2 and 3% of their income. In fact, he says more than 1 out of 4 American Christians give away no money at all. Not even $5 to the local church a year. He says that those who do tithe compose only 10 to 25% of the families in the church. But they often provide 50 to 80% of the funding. So what he's saying is this. As they study the local church, only 10 to 25% of the families that go to that local church tithe. And he said, and it is those families that pull the weight of 50 to 80% of the entire funding of the local church. Y'all still with me tonight? When you come to the Bible, when you come to God's Word, you will see that this word tithe or tithes is mentioned 38 times in your Bible. 38 times. 30 references in the Old Testament, and there are 8 references in the New Testament. The Old Testament word for tithe comes from the Hebrew word, which simply means a tenth part. And the New Testament word for tithe comes from the Greek word, according to Vine's Expositionary Dictionary, which means to pay a tenth. So Old Testament, a tenth part. New Testament means to pay a tenth. Now I want you to take your Bible with me tonight, and I want you to go to Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis 14. When you arrive at Genesis 14, you're going to find out that Abraham has been notified that his nephew Lot has been taken captive during a war. Abraham and his men chase after the fleeing army who capture him. He defeats the army and he returns with Lot. But not only does he return with Lot, but he returns with the spoil or the goods that was stolen. The king of Sodom, of who the army he stole from, tells Abraham that if he returns the people that were taken captive, he can keep the goods for himself. But Abraham refuses. In verse number 25, you'll find in Genesis 14, you see, he don't want to take anything because he wants all the credit to go to the Lord. He don't want to say that man has made him rich. But I want you to look at Genesis 14, verse number 18. Genesis 14, verse number 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, I want to stop right there and just say this. There are two beliefs about Melchizedek, and I know I'm being teachy tonight, but just bear with me. There are beliefs that he's kind of a mysterious individual that was likened unto Christ, and we're going to look at him in the book of Hebrews. It is the belief of your pastor. I want you to take note. It's my belief, you take it with a grain of salt, that this is a pre-incarnate Christ, okay? And you don't have to believe with me, that's totally fine, we can agree to disagree, but I believe it is Christ pre-incarnate. He's presenting himself to Abraham. And you'll find in Hebrew, he said, preacher, where did he get that from? Because the Bible says he didn't have a mama, didn't have a daddy. He says that his priestly, he's the priest forever, that his service is continual. It says that he didn't have a beginning and he didn't have an end. It sounds a lot like Christ to me, okay? But you believe what you want to believe, that's totally fine. But verse number 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. Now, does anybody know when the priesthood was established? Wasn't established till Moses and Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. So we are 430 some years before Moses and Aaron. So where in the world does the priesthood come from? Well, that's just another picture of Christ. So he says that he's a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And verse 20, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Now, I want you to notice the next part of verse number 20. And he gave him tithes of all. Tithes of all. Abraham gave 10%, a tenth part, of all the spoils to Melchizedek. Now, I want you to go from Genesis chapter 14 to Hebrews chapter number 7. Genesis 14 to Hebrews chapter number 7. Y'all bear with me. I'm not a professional water drinker when I preach. I always thought it's really awkward. Hebrews 7. We're going to see what the New Testament says about Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. By the way, can I say this tonight? That Jesus fulfilled the ministry of the priest. Amen. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To whom also, here it is, Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, now that we're talking about Melchizedek, being interpretation, king of righteousness. Now what other king do we ever find in the Bible that is the king of righteousness? We don't. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Can I remind you that this is another name of Christ? He will be the prince of peace. Now watch this, verse number 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Isn't it interesting that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek way before, 430 some years before the Mosaic law was ever established about giving a tenth? You say, preacher, why are you talking about this? Because I'm here to tell you tonight that tithing is beyond and it's outside of just the Mosaic law. Because that is an argument they will say, well, tithing is just part of the Mosaic law. Well, I'm here to tell you, tithing was around way before Moses ever got on scene. It's a principle. Now, Abraham tithed. Why did he tithe? He tithed to acknowledge God's sovereignty. He tithed as a testimony that God owned everything in his life. You say, preacher, well, are there any other references outside of the Mosaic law about tithing? Yeah, go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I'm just going to give you a couple more things and then I'm going to close. My voice is about shot for whatever reason. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 20, talking about Jacob. Genesis 28:20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, verse 21, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So here we find he's understanding something. That God, everything that you give me, I'm going to give a tenth of that back to you. A commentator said this. He says, we're not told why he selected that percentage. We're not told why he decided to give a tenth. But the fact that he did determines so to do. He said that God, somewhere along the line, had told him or communicated to him that one-tenth of their income should be devoted as to the giver of all, which is the Lord. So we find two places in Scripture. Two in Genesis and then in Hebrews, which is a reflection of the first part of Genesis, that tithing is outside of the Mosaic law. So we got to conclude tonight that tithing exists outside of the law. I know this is simple, but I want you to understand, you know, because people are going to challenge you on it. So based on what you've seen in your Bible, would you agree with me tonight that tithing exists outside of the Mosaic law? It was there before, and Jesus is going to reference it again. So we understand that we've discovered that a tithe is outside of the law. Now, I want to close with this thought. We need to define what a law is to begin with. Here's the definition of a law. A law is a command by God to be obeyed by the people He has given the law to. If the law is obeyed, God promises blessing. If the law is broken, there will be punishment. Multiple times throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that God gives a law. And when they obey the law, God blesses them and He helps them and He's with them. But there are times that they disobey and they break the law and God punishes them. There are times that God would let them go into captivity because they've broken laws. God would punish them all throughout the Old Testament. However, there is no example of a punishment for not tithing. Now, let me say this, and y'all know this. As your pastor, I can always stand to be corrected. And so if you go home tonight and you search the Scriptures and you find a place that God punished them for not giving, please come find me. Let's talk about it and we'll make mention of that. But nowhere in the Bible do I ever find that God punished the nation of Israel for not giving, for not tithing. So you think with me, what's that got to do? Can you imagine a law for those that say, well, tithing is an Old Testament law? Well, think with me for a second. Can you imagine a law with no punishment? You go 85 miles an hour down the interstate. Some of you do that already. You go 85 miles down the interstate. You see that sneaky state trooper sitting under the bridge. You try to hit your brakes. You try to slow down. There's nobody in front of you to give you any type of hope. You try to get on the brakes, but man, your heart sinks because you see those blue lights that begin to flash. They pull out. You're just hoping that he's going to an emergency. You're hoping somebody's dead somewhere just so you don't got to get a ticket. But no, he pulls up behind you. You pull over on the side of the interstate. That police officer walks up to you and says something like this: sir or ma'am, do you know how fast you were going? You begin to say and act stupid and act silly. I don't know how fast I was. You knew good and well deep in your soul that you was going way too fast. And he says, well, sir or ma'am, you are going, I clocked you with my radar device at 85 miles an hour. But I just want to let you know, I hope you have a great day, and walks away. What kind of silliness would that be? A law that there is no punishment if you break it. That if we're going to say that tithing is a law, then there must be a punishment if God's people break that law. But nowhere in my Bible do I ever find that God punishes those who do not tithe. Now listen to me. Please, again, I can always stand to be corrected. But I believe there's a reason behind this that I'm going to show you. If it's a law, it must be punished when they break it. But according to the Bible and according to what your preachers found, tithing was not a mandatory law, but it was a voluntary act. No punishment for not giving, but He would reward them if they did give. Why is that, preacher? Well, 2 Corinthians says it like this: God loves a cheerful giver. God's not interested in your obligatory money. God does not want to take your money. This is what heretical preaching has led to, okay? Bad preaching. Well, if you don't give, if you don't put money in the offering plate, God's going to send a storm your way. If you don't give, you don't put money in the offering plate, God's going to rock your world. Where's that in the Bible? I ain't found it. Why is that? Because God does not want you to give through the local church. Say, well, if I don't do this, God's going to send me, there's going to be a tragedy in my life, and if I don't give, God doesn't want that. God wants a cheerful giver. Listen, we give tonight because of what God's done for us. We give because God's good to us. We give because God's loved us. And so when we give to the local church, it's not because we're scared that God's going to punish us, but we give because of the goodness of God. Let me say this. Listen, we don't give to be blessed by God. Don't get me wrong. You give, God tells us in Malachi, He'll open up the windows of heaven. God will bless you, but we ought not give. Well, I'm going to give so God's going to let me win that lottery next week at the gas station. That ain't how it works. Well, I'm going to give and God's really going to help me out. You may give and you may never see that money again. But I tell you what, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God will take care of you. We give and God will bless you. He will, but that ain't why we give. We give because God loves us. I've never understood this, and I know this is silly. You'll see things like this. Y'all ever seen this? Like if you go to an event or something, they'll say, well, it's free. There's just a $5 donation at the door. Y'all ever seen that? Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, last time, I mean, maybe I was brought up weird, but I thought a donation was if you want to give, you give, and if you don't want to give, you don't have to give. Is that y'all's interpretation of a donation? So don't, listen, there's that obligatory, well, you got to do the fight. That ain't a donation. That's just whatever fee you're requiring to get into whatever you're trying to get into. But God is not interested in obligatory giving. Y'all still with me tonight? Listen, the tithe was not a law in the Old Testament. There was not punishment for not tithing. It was a command. God said you need to give, but I do not find where God punishes them. This confirms that not only was tithing outside of the law, but in fact, it was not a law altogether. It was a voluntary act to acknowledge God as the supreme ruler and owner of everything. We don't know why Abraham tithed. But he did. We're not told. If you look at the previous chapters of Genesis 14, nowhere do I see that God tells him he's supposed to tithe. But it does tell us this, that somewhere along the way, he knew that he was supposed to tithe. That God, that tenth, that God had communicated that to him. The tithe. So, let me end with this. Therefore, it would be wise for us to refer to tithing not as a law, but as a principle. It would be good for us, biblical for us, not to refer to tithing as a law. A law, you do it. If you don't do it, you're going to get punished. But it is a principle throughout the entire Word of God. We got more ground to cover, but I'm not going to finish it tonight. There's more ground to cover. But you will see a principle throughout Scripture that when we do give cheerfully, and y'all just bear with me, I'm going to grab something back here before I close. I was telling the men, and I know y'all are going to think, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing ever. But John, will you hand me one of those offering plates? I know y'all going to think this is super weird, but just bear with me, okay? I don't know, and maybe you know, maybe you're good at church history. I don't know where this come from. I don't know where the offering plate come from, where we had the idea that men would get big shiny plates and pass it around through a bunch of people. And church, please understand tonight, I'm not saying we're going to do away with this. But here's what I know, okay? You get a visitor in church, right? You get a visitor. And somebody, the usher, you know, ushers are always mean looking, right? You get an usher, and they start. You know what I'm saying? You know how they look at you? And our ushers don't do that, by the way. But there is a sense of when a visitor sees other people giving, and they're kind of looking, there's kind of an obligatory, well, I need to put something in the offering plate. Y'all with me tonight? I don't find that in the Bible. I know this breaks up a lot of stuff that we grew up, but God's not interested in obligatory money. And I know what we're thinking, oh, preacher, if we don't, you know, here's what we think. We think God's up there sweating. Oh, if visitors don't give money, the church is going to close down. We're just going to run dry. We're going to go bankrupt. Listen, God don't need nothing. I'm telling you right now, we got a check for, I'm going to be transparent, we got a check $5,000. When we start doing this building project, we got a check for $5,000 in the mail from a person who don't even live in North Carolina. I ain't never met him in my life, but they said the Lord laid this on my heart to give. If God wants to take care of His church, God's going to take care of His church. Amen? But giving has always been a voluntary act that God blesses. But we should never give thinking that if I don't, God's going to send me into a tragedy. God's going to punish me. God's going to chastise me. Listen, we tithe because I want God's blessing, but I tithe because the Lord loves me and the Lord's been good to me and God owns everything. And God's going to take care of me. So let's not refer to tithe as a law, but as a biblical principle. We got more ground to cover. We'll pick it up next week. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Let's pray. God, we love You tonight. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the Bible. Lord, I'm thankful for Your instruction. And Lord, help us not to be persuaded by the opinions and philosophies of man. And Lord, I know, God, that there are traditions and things that are well. And Lord, that God, that we mean well in what we do, but Lord, I ask.